It's Mike Treen with Crawford Media Group. We're joined by Executive Director for the Denver area, Ken Allen, for Youth for Christ, by the way, and Maddie Davis. She's the Development Director for Denver or places beyond for
Denver
Youth for Christ.
Denver area is where, okay. where I stay, yeah.
And you're both down in Aurora, so you came over, which is awesome. And you're in a school. You're also building a youth facility, so basically the Aurora Youth Center that's coming online soon. So we want to talk about that. We want to talk about 70 years. There's so much to celebrate. Liz Frenzel is with us. Liz is executive. You're executive everything. We just figured that out, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
I'm the only one here that's not executive over something.
Yeah, no.
That's humbling. Do you know that?
I do.
Okay, thank you. So Ken and Maddie, I'll let you guys decide who starts first, but 70 years. Tell us about that, that legacy, and what that means for the Denver area.
Yeah, Mike, it's really something to celebrate and really be excited about, and we are. In 2024, 70 years of just faithful ministry in the Denver area, and Youth for Christ started even 75-plus years ago with Billy Graham was our first full-time employee and had started chapters around the country. Denver was 70 years ago, so it is something. You think about the men and women, the faithful men and women that have been a part of this ministry and the longevity of ministry and the number of kids that have been reached with the gospel. It's really just humbling and also something to celebrate and be excited about. So
we found some cool pictures of our founder, Percy Crawford, and Dr. Graham back, I don't know, somewhere in those early years. I don't know exactly what the vintage was, but our founder died in 1958, I think. So these probably would have been possibly from the 40s.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing stuff. Dr. Graham started Youth for Christ, and now you've been a legacy in Denver for almost as long as YFC has been around.
Right.
Yeah, 7 years. People don't know that. I'm sure they don't.
Yeah. I run into people all the time that are like, wait a minute, what? Are you all still around? Because they remember the rally days. They remember Phipps Auditorium was a big rallying point for a lot of people on Saturday nights, Friday and Saturday nights, inviting young people to come to those rallies and hear the gospel and music and all of that. And so I hear from people all the time asking about, are you all still around? They don't realize that Youth for Christ is still doing ministry.
Still around, doing ministry for all those years. And what are some of the things that has led to in Denver and in Aurora? I mean, what is some of the fruit? Because there are decades of that and probably things that people don't even remember anymore.
Yeah, and Maddie, you can jump in as well. I think for us, 70 years, there is so many leaders of ministries in this town that heard the gospel through Youth for Christ or were on staff with Youth for Christ and now have started their own ministry. I think of Luis Varial, who started Save Our Youth. He was with Youth for Christ.
Yes.
I mean, there is so many different ministries. And then just teenagers that heard the gospel. Whenever we're at a church, a local church, and have a booth, there's people that come and say, you know, I heard the gospel at a Youth for Christ rally, or I heard it at Campus Life, or some form of ministry with Youth for Christ. And so it's really exciting to have those stories as part of it. So, yeah. Maddie, anything else?
Yeah, I've been on staff here for 5 years, so I can speak for that time period. But I know from what I've heard, we're structured a little bit differently. We're actually at 21 sites across the Denver area. We're really pumped about this one in Aurora because that's going to be kind of like our own space. We're meeting with kids in public schools and out in the community and in detention centers. But this is going to be a space of our own that we can invite people too. So we're really hyping that one up right now, and I think we're talking a lot about it. But yeah, we have 21 sites actually across the metro area, and really our ministry now is relational. We go where kids are and we build relationships with them and get to know their story, share our story, introduce them to God's story. And that's
awesome.
That's the crux of our ministry. I would say that's kind of what it's shaped into now, all these years later.
So are you guys, they get into schools. Liz,
yeah.
Sorry for interrupting real quick. Doesn't that amaze you, though? I know you're used to it, right? But doesn't it amaze you that they get into schools?
Get into schools, yes.
Get into schools? Nobody gets in there.
Right.
And you guys get in there and have influence on kids. They're getting influenced by all sorts of other ungodly stuff. I mean, we talk about that constantly.
So these kids, what ages are they? What ages do you help?
We work with 11 to 19 year olds, but that's our target audience. We obviously are building relationships with these kids, and we don't just leave those relationships when they turn 19. So there's some people on staff that are that are still in mentoring relationships with 40-year-old men now. So it is, kind of sweet to see how it starts. But that's the area, that's the age range that we reach kids, 11 to 19.
And is that, do they find out about you because you're at their school? Basically, is that...
What we try to do is we have breakfast or an activity on school. Food usually brings kids, and having a breakfast will bring a lot of kids and a lot of relationships, and just welcoming them and then really inviting them to other things, activities that, that we're doing throughout the week.
Activities like?
Well, Campus Life Club. I mean, inviting them to a club, inviting them to actually come and participate. We will take kids, you know, take groups of kids out for lunch or for coffee and just have conversations as kids are interested. Maddie alluded to it. For us, it's this three-story model, hearing a kid's story, really understanding their story, and then bringing our story into it as an adult, and then ultimately bringing God's story, the best story of all, into that relationship. That's what authentic Christ-sharing relationships are about.
In public schools.
In public schools.
Do you have, in these facilities, you said detention center schools, do you have a room of your own? Do you go into the classroom and...
Yeah, that's a good
question.
Take
them into the back of the room while the teacher's teaching up front.
Yeah, so it's structured a little bit differently based on the relationships that we have at each school that we're at. So a lot of times it actually starts with a relationship from a teacher that allows us to use their space in the mornings before school. So we'll bring, what, how many boxes of donuts in there, Ken?
Lots of donuts. Like 24 dozens of donuts.
Yeah, yes. So yeah. They'll let us take over their room in the morning before school starts in some of our schools. And then I actually volunteer with our ministry at Thomas Jefferson High School, and there's a teacher there that lets us use his classroom during lunch. So we bring pizza in there, and the kids can hang out during lunch, and we can just get to know them and start building relationship there and getting to know their story. So it's a little bit different at every school, but yeah, we have some pretty great partners that make space for us. Yeah.
I wonder if some of the food you bring, the donuts, pizza, that's probably some of the only meals they might have that day. Some of them.
Some of the schools also are good at providing free meals, but some of them, for sure.
For a lot of students. And I would just say we want to be a recognized club on the campus. And there's a lot of other clubs on campus, and we really... That's how much of a need there is with schools. They want us there to be in relationship with
kids. So they're good
with
that.
They really are. Principals and teachers. And we want to... because they know we care about kids, and we want to come alongside them. And when they're in crisis, they want to call us, and they want to be a part of that. So they need support. Teachers and principals and schools just need more and more support.
We're speaking with Ken Allen. He's the executive director for the Denver area.
Yep.
I get that right?
That's correct.
And then Maddie Davis is the development director for Denver. Liz Frenzel is with us today, and we're talking about celebrating 70 years of Youth for Christ in Denver, which, again, all of us just amazed it's that many years, seven decades. Then your Aurora Youth Center should be open late February?
Yep, in the end of this month. Yep, that's the plan. So we call it the ACO House. A Christ Operation is the name of this youth center. It's a block away from New Legacy High School, an alternative high school that has many parenting teens in that school. And we've been working with that school for the last 7 years, have many relationships in that neighborhood. It's been the most violent zip code in the Denver area for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. A lot of gun violence, just gangs and other activities. So it's a neighborhood that just desperately needs a safe place for kids to be kids. And that's why we really have been praying for years about having this kind of a center open. And so we're excited about the fact we are in the final stretch of this opening up here in the next month.
Probably been a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to get this together and the planning stages and building it, and it's
stages.
Your center. This is not shared with someone else, because that's kind of unique for YFC, right? That you oftentimes you have to be in a school or, you know, sharing, and it sounds like you do an amazing job of building those relationships, but this one's yours.
It is.
Yeah.
And with it, and that's why Maddie is here as well. I mean, there's a lot of planning that goes into it, a lot of fundraising that has to go into it, a lot of funds. God's opened up those doors to just have a place. And then doing the construction side of it, which it was four walls, and to put in, you know, HVAC and put in bathrooms and kitchen and all of that, it takes a lot of work.
How big is this facility?
It's 4,000 square feet inside, and then we actually have a back area that's fenced in, a back parking lot that we'll be using for, have a sport court, have basketball, and have picnic tables and places where kids can be outside too, which is really a nice thing. We'll have a garage door that opens up to from the inside space to the outside space, which is really kind of fun to have both.
That's inviting.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the kids are going to love that.
Yeah.
Plus just the sports outside. I mean, we drive by places and see them playing basketball. Mm-hmm. Even the school kind of down the street, you know, we see that stuff. So you guys, as you build this and get started, what are some of the things that the community is going to see? What are some of the immediate impacts?
Man, I feel like I'm hoping there's kind of a lull in the time after school when kids get off and when like their parents might get off. And so we're really hoping to open our doors and be a safe place for youth to go during that time between 3 and 5, where kids, I mean, that is usually a time where they could get into some trouble or just not have a safe place to go. So we are hoping to just be a safe place for them. That's something, an immediate thing whenever we open up. That's, we're looking at that time zone just to be a safe place for kids to come and to hang out. But this center is also going to have places for kids to do job researching, and we're going to be able to help them apply for just career paths for them, help them dream through that. And yeah, a lot of different de-escalating techniques that we're getting really excited about to house in the Aco House. So when kids are feeling pretty high emotions, we're going to have just soft and safe spaces for them to come and cool down and just relax and hopefully feel safe and at home. So those are some of the immediate things that we're just excited. We're so excited to get these doors open so we can just have kids fill that space.
So I was going to ask you, you say, you mentioned earlier, it's one of the most dangerous zip codes there are. Are you concerned? Do you have security on site? Do you intervene? I'm sure issues arise. They're going to be on the basketball court. Someone's going to take the ball, and then.
Yeah, it's a great question, Liz. I mean, for us, it is, you know, having security cameras, obviously, and we check everybody in. Every kid that comes in is going to be checked in. They're going to sign in. We're going to know who's in there. A lot of kids we will know, obviously, with relationships. But the other important thing is that we're going to have adults. We're going to have one adult for every 6 to 7 kids that walk through that door. A lot of staff, a lot of volunteers, a lot of ministry leaders that really just want to be with kids. So that in itself will create kind of that safe space as well. But we will, if a kid brings something in that doesn't belong, we will be asking kids to leave and having just, I mean, we're going to have eyes and ears on what's happening in this space.
So good.
We're excited for you. I mean, this is not just 70 years, which is mind-blowing, especially being in schools and today being in schools and working with teachers and working with the students, but also that you'll have your own center in not where someone would build one if they thought, well, we need to be in a safe place where everything's going to be really easy.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. And Maddie's beaming, so I can tell that does not bother her. It doesn't bother Ken because there are big smiles here. So now our listeners, in the last minute or so we have, how can they support you? How do they get connected and see what you're doing?
Yeah, go to yfcdenver.org and go to our website. You can certainly reach out to us. Let us know. We always need more people to support us. We would love for you to support financially. Right now we're in the last segment of our campaign. We're going to be paying this thing off at the end of this month, and we want to be debt-free. So our goal and our prayer is to raise $100,000 in the month of February. So if you want to be a part of that, please go to our website, yfcdenver.org, and donate there.
That's an awesome goal and very doable. Well, on behalf of Liz and myself, Ken Allen, Maddie, thanks so much for taking the time with us. Be praying for this center opening, for all the work that Maddie's got to do, because it's all Maddie.
Right,
and just for, you know, God to bring some kids that really need to be loved on and taken care of, that really want to change. That's going to be awesome. Thanks.
Thank you all for having us. This has been great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.